This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Ronnie Mills will be with us, and we will have a moving devotional with Pastor Mark Finley.
Plus, we'll have a brief talk on the bridge of life. Stay tuned. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. It is the start of the weekend, and we are excited to be kicking off the weekend with you. Have you had a good week? Send us a message on our Facebook page and let us know if Wake Up With Hope has made a difference in your life.
We are thrilled to share the love of Jesus with you this morning.
Yes.
And we want to pause and take a moment to say Happy Veterans Day to all those who have served. We truly appreciate your commitment and sacrifice to this country, and we wish all of God's blessings on your life. And friends, don't forget to thank a veteran today.
That's right. You know, we have a lot in store today, and so let's jump right in with what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1921, exactly 3 years after the end of World War I, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is dedicated at Arlington Cemetery in Virginia during an Armistice Day ceremony presided over by President Warren G. Harding. 2 days before, an unknown American soldier who had fallen somewhere on a World War I battlefield arrived at the nation's capital from a military cemetery in France. On Armistice Day, in the presence of President Harding and other government, military, and international dignitaries, the unknown soldier was buried with the highest honors beside the Memorial Amphitheater. As the soldier was lowered to his final resting place, a 2-inch layer of soil brought from France was placed below his coffin so that he might rest forever atop the earth on which he died. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is considered the most hallowed grave at Arlington Cemetery, America's most sacred military cemetery. The tombstone itself, designed by sculptor Thomas Hudson Jones, was not completed until 1932 when it was unveiled bearing the description, "Here rests, in honored glory, an American soldier known but to God." The World War I unknown was later joined by the unidentified remains of soldiers from America's other major 20th century wars, and the tomb was put under permanent guard by special military sentinels.
What an incredibly solemn memorial for those known but to God. You know, it's a solemn thought, friend, to have died and not be known, to have died and not be identified, to rest in a grave and no one knows who you are. No one, that is, except God. God knows. And friend, God knows you. He knows everything you're going through, even if no one else does. He knows you even while others ignore or forget you. God knows. He knows your struggles, your thoughts. He knows. And He still loves you. He still promises to hold you up and be by your side forever. In fact, He will never let you go. All you have to do is keep holding on to Him.
Amen. Keep holding on to Jesus. Have you ever visited the city of San Francisco? Maybe you've seen pictures. No doubt you know that San Francisco is home to one of the most beautiful and most photographed bridges in the world, the Golden Gate Bridge. But what can this iconic symbol teach us about life? Let's turn to Taj Pakleb on today's Reflections of Hope episode to find out more.
We're here in the beautiful Golden State of California, in the city of San Francisco, where we find one of the most beautiful and surely the most photographed bridge in all the world, the Golden Gate Bridge. Let's go check it out. The Golden Gate Bridge is the iconic symbol of San Francisco. When it opened in 1937, it was the longest suspension bridge in all the world, connecting its main city to its upper peninsula. Considered as one of the great wonders of the modern world by the American Society of Civil Engineers. Aesthetically beautiful and structurally sound, it is San Francisco's pride and joy. But the Golden Gate Bridge is also known as a dark and dreary dead-end road for so many people. It is the second most used suicide bridge in the world, claiming the lives of over 1,500 people in death throughout the years. In fact, it's on this very road that one of my beloved friends tried to take her life in death.
A cold, dark night.
She grew up in a very loving environment surrounded by life. But on the inside, she was in a cage of emptiness and spiritual death. She had made many mistakes in the realm of her relationships. And because of her brokenness, she was discarded like trash. The devil whispered lies into her ears saying that God doesn't love you. You're dirty. You're unworthy. You might as well end it all right now here. And so she drove to this bridge, intending to jump off to take her life. She was at the end of her road, and she felt like there was no way out. The God of grace came to her rescue. Love came down to bring restoration. On her way to the bridge, she received a phone call from a loved one that assured her that her life is still worth something. That no matter what happened in her past, she is still deeply loved. The good Lord was giving her a second chance in infinite love and mercy. In that defining moment, she realized that Christ was the golden gate, providing a way of escape from her depression and despair. She realized that his death on the cross, not hers on this bridge, was the solution to her sorrows. And so she accepted his way of escape and entered into the golden gate of his grace. So instead of jumping off this bridge, she crossed over. And as she crossed through this literal bridge, in reality, spiritually, she was crossing over from death into life, from sorrow into salvation, from fear into freedom. She made it through by the bridge of his love. And today she has hope and she has peace. You see, this story of redemption illustrates the reality that no matter how far we have fallen, love came down to bring restoration. I want you to know that there is a loving God that came all the way down from heaven to earth to meet us in our misery. He came to a world that was cut off by sin, a world that was committing spiritual suicide and determined disobedience. A world separated from the heavenly peninsula by a bay of brokenness. And God so loved this world that he came to build a bridge. A bridge that all may enter freely without a toll and without a price. A bridge for all of humanity to pass from death into life. It is a bridge made of one cross and three nails. For one cross plus three nails equals forgiveness for all who will receive it. Now outwardly, this bridge may look weak. But this wooden bridge is more structurally sound than the steel suspension bridge we stood upon earlier today. For on that wooden cross, suspended in midair, hung one who held the weight of the world in his hands. One who is strong enough to endure all the massive misery and the burden of brokenness that sin had brought upon the human race. And that man's name is Jesus. He is one that died so that we might live. Please don't let his death be in vain. Stay on the bridge. The devil may be telling you today that because of the sins of your past, that there is no hope for you and that you've gone too far. But friends, please stay on the bridge. Today you might find yourself drowning in a sea of sorrow due to a terrible accident, the loss of a loved one, a financial hardship, a deadly diagnosis, maybe the betrayal of a friend, the unfaithfulness of a spouse, the backstabbing of a brother, the rejection of a child, or the indifference of the church. But my friends, I plead with you. Don't jump off the bridge. There is an answer to your problem and a solution to your sorrows. As Jesus hung upon the cross, he was tempted to come down, tempted to jump off of the bridge. But Jesus stayed on the bridge for you. It is his death, not yours, that is the way of escape. And because he stayed on the wooden bridge for you, today I encourage you to stay on the heavenly bridge with him. And if you do, soon you will experience the joy of entering into the heavenly golden gate to experience life forevermore. And by God's grace, I'll see you on the other side.
Love. If you're enjoying today's program as much as we are, don't forget to visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup and share us with your friends and loved ones. Also, search for us on YouTube and check our channel out there and keep up with everything that's going on Wake Up with Hope.
When we return, Ronnie Mills will be joining us as she shares exclusive Hope Channel insights. Welcome back, friends. This morning we have Ronnie Mills from our very own Hope Channel here to share some special insights with us. Ronnie?
Good morning, Saints, and happy Friday. One of the most familiar faces to our viewing audience is a team member of the Hope Sabbath School. Jason Miller's friendly smile, enthusiastic love of God's Word and scriptural songs has made him a goodwill ambassador for Hope Channel. But did you know that he's also director of plan giving? Jason, welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
Thank you, Ronnie. It's great to be on here with you.
Jason, what is plan giving?
Ronnie, plan giving is how you ensure that the people that you love and the things you love are taken care of no matter what happens to you. And it's a process. Now, one of the biggest aspects is putting together an estate plan. That's basically where you figure out everything that you own, and then you decide what you want to do with it when you no longer have need of it. And since I'm a lawyer, Ronnie, the biggest part of this is the legal part called a will.
How is plan giving related to my connection with God?
Yes, so plan giving does have a lot of practical benefits, like the will I referenced, but the biggest reason to care about it is because it does tie into this idea of stewardship. We are stewards, we care for the things that God has given us. As Christians, we're called to be responsible for all those things, and plan giving helps ensure that everything that God has entrusted to us as a steward is taken care of according to the principles and guidance that He has given us.
Wow, you mentioned steward and stewardship several times, and I understand you're involved in a project to make it more understandable to everyone. Please give us more information.
All right, well, this is a longer term project, but one of the little pieces of this, or one of the early pieces, is a course in our hope.study platform. Now, some of you may have heard about our course platform, hope.study. We have all these different Bible study lessons and courses, and we've recently put one together called Steps Toward Faithful Stewardship. It's written by my friend John Matthews and has practical principles for how to care for everything that God has given us. Now, when we think about stewardship, a lot of times in terms of money, and that's true, yes, money is a part of stewardship, but it's more than just money. It's also our time, talents, and even God's creation, nature.
Well, if someone's watching now and says, okay, Jason, I understand the principles of stewardship, but I want to give to Hope Channel now. I want to get involved in plan giving. What advice do you have for them?
All right, I love that. Making stewardship practical. Well, if you are 70 and a half or older, there's something specifically that you can do. You can make a donation to Hope Channel from your retirement account. Now, the details do vary, but basically what you do is you give this donation and you can do it tax-free. It's called a qualified charitable distribution. And in fact, if you're 72 or older, you have to give a minimum amount from your retirement account. And so if you're interested in potentially doing this, make sure to reach out to us because, Ronnie, we're in the second half of the year and this actually has a deadline. The deadline is the end of the year, December 31st. So feel free to reach out to us if you're maybe interested in doing this kind of donation using your retirement account to Hope Channel.
Wow, that's really important. In fact, are there any closing comments where you want to share some additional important information?
Definitely. And I want us to remember God wants us to be good stewards. Plan giving is a part of this process. And so you can do something like sign up for the hope.study course, or yes, pray about if God may be asking you to do a plan gift or give this donation through a retirement account. Feel free to reach out to me. You can email me, jason.miller@hopetv.org, and you can also call me up on the phone. My number is 888-339-7526. Call me and let's have a conversation about stewardship or plan giving today.
Thank you again, Jason, and thank you for your continued support. God bless.
Thank you, Ronnie. Friends, don't go anywhere. Pastor Mark Finley will be bringing us now an inspiring message right after the break.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for making us part of your weekend.
It's now time for our devotional thought brought to us by Pastor Mark Findlay.
Proverbs is such a practical book.
It speaks about our words and the impact of our words upon others. It discusses in numerous places the importance of speaking positive words to other people. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers all sins." In other words, when you see somebody that does something that's not in harmony with what you desire, something that could stir you up, if you feel that anger rise up inside and you speak caustically, you speak critically to them, it's going to really cause further strife. But this says that in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, love covers all sins. In other words, if you really love, you're going to overlook what somebody says that may have hurt you. Verse 19. Now notice the words, the importance of words. "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." So at times we refrain from what we want to say for the good of another person. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 puts it this way, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter." So you don't want to be talking ill of your friends, even if your friends make mistakes, because that simply damages their reputation, hurts their character. So Proverbs says that to develop multiple friendships, to have people around us that have confidence in us, love conceals a matter. Love protects another. I was sitting in a meeting once where an individual was being criticized. He was considered for a position, and there were those in the committee that didn't want him to have that position, so they began to criticize his character, which never should have happened. If a person's not qualified and you talk about their qualifications, that's one thing, but character is quite another thing. And I remember one person spoke up and he said, "I want to be an attorney for the absent." And I never have forgotten that. He spoke up in protection of the other person, an attorney for the absent. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 puts it this way. It says that a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Don't you love that? A man spoken in good season, how good it is. To speak positive words that encourage other people's hearts, to speak positive words that lift their spirit. Proverbs 16, verse 24, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Pleasant words bring joy to our spirit. You see, our words can either lift another's spirit, encourage their heart, brighten their life, or they can bring great discouragement. Solomon cautions us to guard our words carefully. Solomon points out that hatred stirs up. It stirs up the worst emotions in a person, but love covers all sins. Solomon talks about the fact that the person that refrains their lips, doesn't just speak everything that comes into their mind, is wise. Solomon says to us that he that is faithful as a friend is going to conceal a matter. He's going to try to hide your faults, not expose them. And then Solomon adds that we just read that a word spoken in due season, that's at the right time, how good it is. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the bones and health to the soul. Recently, I had a workman working at our house, and as that workman worked at our home, a lady, she was servicing a hot tub that we have at our pastor's retreat center. It wasn't my personal home, but she was working at our retreat center. We have a pastor's retreat center where pastors can come and get relaxation and rest and study the Bible together. And it's one of the things that my wife and I are doing at this phase of our life. And this lady was working there and went out to talk to her. And she shared with me some of the challenges that she was going through and some of the heartaches that her family was going through
And I sat and listened, and I said, what positive words can I speak to her? She talked about a tragic death in her family and talked about some of the alcohol that was involved in that death. What should I have said to her? Should I have said, you know, these young people shouldn't have been drinking alcohol, and given her a speech on alcohol? No. But to reach out in kindness and compassion and understanding, I simply listened and tried to encourage her heart. You see, when you speak negative words, it increases stress. And that stress releases a negative chemical byproduct that produces an inflammatory response, increasing pain in our bodies. But kind words of appreciation reduce an individual's stress level and create an atmosphere of joy that brings health to the bones and strength to the immune system. There's a song that I love, and from time to time it comes to my mind. It's just one of those simple little choruses. And it says, if any little word of mine may make a dark life brighter, if any little song of mine may make a sad heart lighter, then the chorus goes, God help me speak that helping word, and sweeten it with singing, and drop it in some lonely vale to set the echoes ringing. If any little word of mine, it's interesting how little things can make such a difference. Some time ago, my wife and I were working in the Trans-European Division of Seventh-day Adventist from 1985, we went to 1990, and I was ministerial secretary. That means I was in charge of pastors throughout that division, doing a lot of evangelism. We were holding evangelism meetings in London, and I had become really tired. We were traveling from St. Albans, England, into London every single day, traveling on the train, teaching in the mornings, working till late in the evenings with meetings and with the public, and then coming home at night. And we were working in London for about 6 months, and it was a real challenge to us, the pressure of the day, the crowds, walking down Regent Street and getting up early, staying there till late. And one day I was unusually tired, and I was walking up the stairs into a facility we had called the New Gallery Center. Adventists had a church there, and there was a large auditorium there and classrooms, and I was teaching, and I was just really beat. And off to the side room, some of my students were there, and I heard them talking, and then they were praying. And they were praying, and one of them offered a prayer like this: Dear Lord, Pastor Mark looks really tired. Dear Lord, give him courage today, give him hope today, bless him today. And I will tell you, when I heard those words, my eyes got brighter, my spirits were picked up, any little discouragement like a cloud was swept away like the breeze, and I just bounded up those stairs. What if I would have heard them say, you know, Mark is so tired, he preached such a poor sermon the other day, and you know, he needs to be getting more rest, and if da-da-da-da-da, you know, he's not setting a good example. What if I heard them criticizing me? What would have that have done? It would have been like a sword to my heart. Our words make a difference. If any little word of mine can make a glad heart brighter, Lord, help me to speak that word. That's the counsel to your life from Proverbs today. Speak that word that makes a difference and bless somebody today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark.
Amen. That was such a blessing. And thank you so much for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about us and our Hope Channel family, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup. You can also share hope with your friends. Again, the website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us here on Monday morning. We will start the week with Voice of Prophecy, sharing a morning devotional and an interesting green pea mingle from Gia and her sous chefs. We hope you start your week right here on Wake Up with Hope.
Yes. And if you enjoyed our devotional thought today, please visit hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. And before we say goodbye for the week, we have a Bible promise to share with you. Today's Bible promise comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10.
It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so many blessings that there will not be room enough to store it."
Wow. I love that verse. There aren't many things that God says to test him on. Mm. But here he encourages us to test him as we dedicate our resources to him.
Amen.
Test him. First financially, and he promises to pour out so much blessing that we wouldn't have enough room to receive the blessings that he has in store for us. What an incredible promise.
Amen. Well, we hope you have a positive and blessed weekend testing God and praising him for everything he has promised to do for you.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, you are a God who knows our life. You know the circumstances that we face. You are the God who knows the end from the beginning, and nothing is too difficult for you. And so, Lord, today we choose to put our trust entirely on you. You are able. You can make it happen. You are the God who can carry us through. You can provide for all our needs. And so today, Lord, we trust you with everything. Yes, including our possessions, our finances, our children, our family, our home, everything, Lord. We consecrate ourselves to you and pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us hope as we face a new day and continue to walk by faith in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.